Again, my name is Sherry Parker Lewis. I'm the senior pastor here at First United Methodist Church in Brighton and our Whitmore Lake campuses, and it is a pleasure to be able to worship with you. Thank you so much for being here. We have, according to our Facebook monitor, Suzanne Everett, about 85 people or 85 screens that are now working now. So we can pretty much assume that we have over 100 people worshiping together. What a blessing to be with you. I'd like to begin by reading some words from first chapter in Philippians. I'm going to begin at verse 2 and read through verse 6. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy. Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Paul wrote that letter to the Philippians. He wrote many letters to churches. Let's think of it as a distant communication. But in it, he recognized that wherever people were, the church was still healthy and alive. And I am convinced that we are called to be the church even in these times. In fact, this is the time when the church is at its best. And so I bring you a couple of ideas. I am sure that you have heard a lot and are keeping connected with news reports and websites like the CDC. But we are working to serve our community by preventing the spread of the COVID-19 virus, which means that the fewer times that we gather together, that we are helping that to happen. So in the name of serving our community and our nation and our world, be sure to limit contact with larger groups of people. Be sure to wash your hands, to not touch your face when you're out, to sanitize common surface areas. For the church, I want to remind you that our programming and our events are canceled or postponed, as well as our on-site worship. If you have any questions about a particular event or gathering, feel free to call the church. You will also, during this live stream broadcast, see Pastor Bob's phone number and mine, as well as our email addresses. Feel free to email us, phone us, or text us if you have specific questions. In addition, I'm going to say this a few times, but if you have prayer requests, there are three ways that you can share those. One is by contacting Pastor Bob or myself, and the other is by going directly to the church website where you will find a link for sharing prayer requests. One more thing before we begin our worship service, and that is that there may be a time when our feed might fail. If that happens in the middle of worship, just be patient. Our techs are here. We're working on things, and we'll get that done. And as usual in worship, I forgot to introduce people, so let me do that too. And you will hear our music and singing from Susan Snow, our music director here. Suzanne Everett is our worship host and will bringing prayer. Reverend Bob Fuchs is our preacher today. The plan was that he'd be preaching at the Brighton campus. We're at the Brighton campus broadcasting, and Pastor Bob will be here. Chris Atarian is at our sound and visual board, and John Phillips is helping us with this live stream. With that, let's begin worship. I'd like to remind you again that if you have prayer concerns this morning, that you can email or text or phone Pastor Sherry or Pastor Bob. Our contact information will appear on the screen. In addition, you can go to the website where you will find a link to offer prayer requests. We will be sending those out in any way that you request that we do that, by our prayer chain or to our prayer ministry. So please do that. In addition, this is a time where we are called to be the church in creative and special ways. We are working to help those who are in need of people to run errands because they have been quarantined in their homes. If you are a person in need of errand running, you have something that you need to have picked up, please contact one of the pastors or contact the office during office hours. In addition, if you are a person who would like to volunteer to help in that way, you can do so by sending an email to helpinghands@brightonfumc.org. Currently, we do not have any requests for help, but we want to be ready with the team to do so. Today, we continue in our Lenten series. We are talking about how God can take the broken pieces of our lives and make something beautiful. So we've already talked a little bit about that, and today the theme is rejection. I invite you now to join me in the opening prayer. Loving God, you are our open door and safe harbor. We love that you see us so differently than we see ourselves. As we worship together, take away any sting of loneliness and the burdens that have become hard to bear. Thank you for taking the broken, jagged pieces of our souls and creating masterpieces. Amen. Is the morning before Jesus is crucified, and it takes place in the courtyard as Pilate communicates with the crowd. We'll begin at verse 22. What shall I do then with Jesus who is called the Messiah? Pilate asked. The crowd all answered, crucify him. Why? What crime has he committed? Asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, crucify him. When Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but that instead an uproar was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd. I am innocent of this man's blood, he said. It is your responsibility. All the people answered, his blood is on us and on our children. Then he released Barabbas to them, but he had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. Then the governor's soldiers took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole company of soldiers around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him and then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand. Then they knelt in front of him and mocked him. Hail, King of the Jews, they said. They spit on him and took the staff and struck him on the head again and again. After they had mocked him, they took off the robe and put on his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. I'm Pastor Bob Fuchs. I'm the associate pastor here at the Brighton campus and the campus pastor down at our Whitmore Lake campus. Now, I went to college at Grand Valley State University, and in my freshman year, I met a young lady, and I liked her a lot. The only problem was, she wouldn't go out with me. In fact, she didn't want anything to do with me. She thought I was obnoxious, and she didn't like the way I treated her friends. Obviously, this hurt a lot. We've all have a story of rejection like that. Maybe you don't, but this one is vivid for me. And when we look back and we look at those stories that we have, One of the definitions that we have for rejection is this: spurning of a person's affections. Each of us, whether it's being spurned, each of us know about rejection. And now our experiences, they can vary. It might be a love lost, right? It might be not getting picked until last and being sent out to right field. And if you didn't know this, if you're out in right field in Little League, you're there because not many balls get hit there. It's a safe place to put you, but you feel that sting of rejection. Or maybe it's not being elected treasurer of the class of 1977, even though you knew that you were the most qualified. See, each of us carries those things with us, that sting that we have in our lives. And those memories, they don't go away. And each of us has those moments of rejection that left us a bit broken and a piece of us lying on the ground. Now, during Lent, we're taking a look at how God is using all of those broken pieces of our lives and taking them and using them in a new way and making us whole again. See, we're made in God's image, and God does not want us to remain broken, but the pieces may look a little bit different when God puts them back together. All those different pieces of our lives, those regrets, that restlessness we may have, our rebellion. God takes all those pieces, including this week's piece of rejection, and uses them. I'm going to make a duh statement. Rejection is all around us in the world. No one's shocked by that. I'm glad to hear that. We don't want to remember the pain that we've caused others in addition to the pain that we've been caused on ourselves. We try and minimize the negative impact that we may have on others, saying that, oh, I'm only one person. It can't hurt them that bad. But as Shane Stanford, who's the author of our study during Lent, says, we would all like to believe that our actions and words have no consequences. See, we want to focus on how we've been hurt, not on how we are hurting others. See, our rejection of others, it's small, right? It's not a big deal until you put them all together and that negative impact can grow and multiply. The scripture reading we heard today is about rejection. It takes place, as Sherry said, in the final morning of Jesus' earthly life. He was put on trial first by the Jewish leaders and then by the Roman rulers. And the crowd we often hear mentioned in Matthew's gospel was present. They were there that day for the trial that they saw. And when they were given a choice, they rejected Jesus and asked that a zealot be released. For us this morning, this scripture reading can be a difficult one to hear. See, when Pilate asked the crowd, what should we do with Jesus? It says they responded in one voice, crucify him! Crucify him. You see, mob mentality had taken over, and the person who just a few days before had been proclaimed as the Messiah to shouts of Hosanna while coming through the streets of Jerusalem, he was now being put on trial. How had the crowd forgotten all of the things he had done, the miracles that he had performed, the feeding of the thousands with just a few loaves and fish? He raised Lazarus from the dead. He healed them. He taught them that God's commandments can be summed up with two: love God and love neighbor. Love God and love neighbor. And yet here they are, shouting to Pilate, crucify him. We like to fault the crowd, don't we? We like to say, well, if I had been there, I wouldn't have done that. I'm not even sure we would have shown up. We may have been too scared. We like to say that the crowd, yeah, they didn't react the way I would, but how many of us, if we were there, would have gotten caught up in that mob mentality and would have rushed down that path and would have cried out with the crowd, crucify him. I mean, they'd been spurred on by the religious leaders to do that. They wanted to put Jesus down. And so the question we have to ask is, how many of us would have use those same words, how many of us would have rejected Jesus? Now, the rejection that Jesus experienced did not stop with the crowd. See, then Jesus was handed over to Pilate's guards, and he was stripped and beaten. They put a crown of thorns on him, and then they knelt down and mocked him. They knelt down and said, "Hail, King of the Jews." The irony is not lost on us that those who are beating Jesus, those who would kill him, are actually those who are stating the truth that day, a truth the crowd couldn't see anymore. And yet these soldiers, in their mocking, spoke true when they said, "Hail, King of the Jews." Jesus is, was, and always shall be the Messiah. And yet these guards, they didn't view Jesus as their king. Oh, no, no. They had a king. And so they rejected Jesus as well. And when we look at the story this morning and the truth that it holds, we realize that while Jesus may not have welcomed the rejection, Jesus clearly accepted it. You see, Jesus' actions throughout this trial are reflections of how he acted with others during his life. You see, Jesus understood rejection, and that's who he reached out to. He reached out to the rejected of society. See, he had sought out the marginalized, the outcast, the foreigners, those who would be ignored. And Jesus embraced them, showed them the love of God, offered them forgiveness, hope, and God's grace. And now here we have Jesus in the last moments of his earthly life experiencing the same rejection that others had. He was living a human life. For us, though, thankfully, we know this is not the end of the story. Now, I don't want to jump ahead to Good Friday and the crucifixion and Jesus' death. And I don't want to rush to Easter and the resurrection. I do, though, however, have to mention them, because what this shows us is that in rejection, God can take it and turn it into something good, something beautiful. Now, this may not happen every time, or it may not happen the way each of us would want it to, but God can take that rejection, all those pieces, put them back together, and make something beautiful out of our lives. And we give thanks for that. See, when we're rejected, when we're broken, when we're treated unfairly, we know it hurts. It stays inside of us. And at the point when we're feeling that, we may actually look and say, you know what, God is not present here, and we may reject God. Now, when we're supposed to be turning to God for help, we end up sounding like the crowd. While our actions may not be the same, we're walking away from God, separating ourselves. It may not be the same as what those guards did, but we are mocking God and saying that we do not believe of what God is capable of. See, the crowd was looking for a king. They were looking for a Messiah, and they knew what that looked like. And Jesus didn't fit that. They were looking for someone who would be in power. And instead, Jesus is bringing grace and love and talking about caring for others. What kind of king does that? They want a king who would rule, who would oppress their enemies, who would bring back a kingdom of this world. They had no idea what they were looking for. And Jesus' behavior throughout his life and throughout this trial reflects that the crowd didn't understand. Jesus never stood up and said, "Wait a minute, crowd, hang on a second, let me explain why you should release me." He didn't do that. He stood silent. And when the guards mocked him and were beating him, he didn't react in a way to make them stop. He was peaceful. He was weak. And that's not like a king of this world. The people didn't understand it. Danford puts it this way. In Matthew 27, the story of Jesus' betrayal, arrest, and crucifixion is one filled with rejection. Take the setting of the crucifixion and it. Rejection is what Stanford is talking about there. It's multiplied by infinity. Without the rejection, without the crucifixion, there's no need for resurrection. God took the ultimate rejection, the people's rejection of Jesus. God took all those broken pieces and turned them into forgiveness, hope, and grace. And that is because, for one reason, it's because God loves us. And see, the story of God's love is not that God spends so much time working to address our rejection. It's that we spend so much time saying that our rejection doesn't matter. I'm here to tell you it does matter. It matters when we make bad decisions that have a negative impact on others and on ourselves. It matters when we take those words that are thrust on us and then we, because we're in pain, we've been rejected, we share them with others and pass on the pain. It doesn't stop with us. See, it matters that we try to overcome that rejection. And it matters that that rejection can stay with us for years. It can steal our joy. It can keep us away from relationship. Throughout Scripture, we hear about God intervening in the midst of humanity's rejection, not just of God, but of itself and of others. And God takes it and reframes that picture. You see, God believes that all situations are redeemable, that each of us matter, and that all stories are just one simple page away from a new chapter. You see, God doesn't want to reject us. God doesn't want to hate us. God loves us. God wants to take that rejection. He wants to take it because it's something we do, not something that God does. God wants to take it and change it into something that is useful for God and for others and for us. You see, God sees us as we are, loves us as we are, and accepts us as we are. But thankfully, by God's grace, He does not leave us where we are. I thank Timothy Keller for those words. Those are not mine. Amazing things are possible in the midst of rejection. Now, I'm not saying it'll turn out the way we want with rainbows and unicorns and everything positive and happy. What I'm saying, it can work out in a way that God can make use of it. So back to my story about the young lady who would not go out with me. I didn't give up on us, and over time, we began to grow closer. We shared our stories. We began to trust each other. We had a chance to see that we could be friends. And even though I wanted to be more than friends, I was going to accept that. I was good with that. I didn't like it, but it was what it was. But then in the spring, actually I believe it was in March of 1978, we went on a double date to Lake Michigan with a couple of friends of ours. If you've never been to Lake Michigan in March, don't. It's cold. But because of all we had been through, because we became friends, you figured it out. Yeah, she married me. That turned out well. It turned out the way I wanted it. But I didn't realize how long that would continue to last and the good that could be made out of a rejection. Because each of us knows that rejection is real. Rejection hurts. Rejection can leave us broken. And the amazing thing is that God takes that. God says, I know you've been rejected. And then God adds this, and I know you've rejected others. And then God tries to take that and say, there's a way we can use this together for good. God says, rejection doesn't make you a good or bad person. It makes you human. I get it. So for this third week of Lent, as we are together, We have a challenge that we'd like to lay out for us this week. And what we'd like to do is think of those moments of rejection. Think of those times in your head. Describe them in your head, those times you felt rejection. It may be a person's name. It may be an event. But think of those, and then as you're thinking of them, here's what I'd like you to say out loud to your, or you can do it right now, or you can do it later on. You can do it to yourself, or you can share it with others. But what I'd like you to say is this: with God, rejection doesn't get the last word. You see, God can use our rejection. With God, rejection doesn't get the last word. God can take that rejection, those broken pieces. He can put us back together and create a new, beautiful picture. Go in peace. Amen. At this time, I'd like to ask Suzanne Everett to come up. She'll be leading us in prayer.
Thanks so much, Bob. I've been watching the Facebook comments, and it's such a joy to know that so many of you are together and watching and praying and worshiping together. I've had to prepare for worship hosting a number of times after a particularly stressful week or a busy week, but I'm sure, like you, it's never been quite like this one. And if you know me, you know that I lean optimistic, naively optimistic sometimes. But my prayer this morning is that we can lean into this new routine and find the hope and creative solutions that will allow us to be community, to be Christ for each other, and to still be God's hands and feet in the world. As we enter this time of communal prayer, I invite you to shift into a posture that is consistent with your prayer practice. You may want to close your eyes to shut out any distractions. Have nothing in your hands so that you are free to relax and invite in the Holy One. Let's take a deep cleansing breath. Living God, you created us in your image and breathed life into us. You set the world in motion, and your creation is beyond what any of us could have imagined. We take a breath now in appreciation for your creation. Lord, our world is turned upside down right now. People are suffering from illnesses, and people are fearful of contracting the coronavirus. Help us to lean into safe and healthy practices. Lord, we breathe in your hope and promise of new life. We breathe out fear. Lord, renew our energy for loving others and help us to know how and where we can help. We remember those that are more than just inconvenienced by this pandemic, your children who face real struggles to care for their families, to pay their rent, to feed their children, to protect the fragile health of loved ones. Help us to lean into caring for our neighbors as we care for ourselves. Lord, we breathe in your love. We breathe out rejection. We breathe in forgiveness. We breathe out abandonment. Breathe in grace. As you breathe out, release your spirit to God's will. May God's favor rest in you and use you to bring God's kingdom close. While we may be separated physically, let's join together in community to recite the prayer that Jesus first taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Pastor Sherry is going to take over as we talk about what's next.
All righty. Thank you. Before we sing our closing hymn, this is traditionally the time in our worship service where our ushers would come forward for the tithes and offerings. Rather than sending an usher to your home, I'd like to talk about some different ways that you might respond to worship and the Word of God. Please remember that if you go to our website, you will find a number of different ways that you can give electronically, and I encourage you, if you are able, to explore those. Thank you to those who are currently signed up for electronic fund transfer. For others, I would encourage you to mail your offering. Our office will be open at regular hours through the coming weeks. Bishop David Bard of the Michigan area has asked that our churches suspend on-site worship and gatherings through the month of March. During this time, we know that this may separate some of us, and some more than others might find themselves feeling lonely and isolated. One way that we might respond in worship is to reach out to people. Send a note, make a phone call, send an email or text to check in. Think about your circle of friends and connections and those who are most vulnerable. If you would like some contact information for someone in this congregation that you would like to care for, contact the office and we'll work that out. In addition, if you would like to serve in some way, you can email us at helpinghands@brightonfumc.org, and we will put you on a list of service volunteers. I give thanks for the congregation who is already responding. I know that many of you are reaching out and asking how you might help. You're caring and connecting with those who are isolated. I give thanks for members of this congregation who were at a blood drive yesterday, helping our community in need. As we go forward, please remember that we are available to you by phone and text and email, and we'll do all that we can to support you. And I know that as members of First United Methodist Church at our Brighton and Whitmore campus, it is in your heart to support one another. And we are grateful. I am grateful for all that you are doing. Although this is a difficult time, I think it's always a good thing to give praise to God.